Will fighting in Gaza turn into a wider war? Israel launches airstrikes on Gaza and Palestinians hit back with more than 100 rockets. What prompted the latest escalation? What impact will it have on daily lives? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the show. I'm Sami Zeidan. Fears are growing of another war over Gaza after Israel launched airstrikes on the Palestinian territory. The military is warning of a week of operations against armed groups. Tension had been building since Tuesday. Israeli forces arrested Bassam Assadi, a Palestinian Islamic Jihad commander in the West Bank that day. The armed group threatened to retaliate. Israel then closed roads near the border with Gaza a day later. And on Friday, Israeli missiles struck what the army said were Islamic Jihad sites in the Strip. One of the group's senior commanders was killed. Several civilians died as well, including a five-year-old girl.
What is this child's fault? She was dreaming of going to kindergarten and asked her father for a school bag and clothes. What has she done wrong, this innocent child?
Well, Israeli airstrikes have continued for a second day. Yumna Sayed has more from Gaza City.
This is the second day of Israeli raids across the Gaza Strip. In a serious development of these raids, Israel now is targeting residential buildings, residential homes, and even civilians. This used to be a two-story residential building of four apartments. It has been totally destroyed and brought to the ground. The families here were given 15 minutes to evacuate before it was completely destroyed. Not only this building has been completely destroyed, but all the other residential buildings and apartments adjacent to this building have been partially and severely damaged. And this is a serious development. Another home in Tell el-Hawa area, also a couple of meters away from this area, has been targeted. Medical crews tell us that a lot of injuries, mostly from children, were brought out of that targeting. We do not have the final number from the Ministry of Health, but until now, 12 people have been killed and over 100 have been injured in the latest Israeli escalation on the Gaza Strip. Yumna Sayed for Inside Story, Gaza.
Islamic Jihad fired more than 100 rockets towards southern Israel, many of them intercepted by the Iron Dome defense system. John Holman has more from the Israel-Gaza border.
We're here on the border between Israel and Gaza back there. And in the last few hours, there's been rockets heading across from Gaza into Israel. A lot of those have proved ineffectual, either because Israel's Iron Dome anti-rocket system has shot them down, or because they've landed in depopulated areas or fallen short in Gaza. This retaliation, after Israel on Friday launched strikes into Gaza that killed a leader of Islamic Jihad. That came after earlier in the week, Israel also detained a leader of Islamic Jihad in the occupied West Bank. So at the moment, it's two actions from Israel, especially the strike on Friday, that's caused this retaliation from Islamic Jihad. Now, the question that everyone's asking is whether this will escalate further. That seems to be a question of Hamas, the other group in Gaza that control much of Gaza, get involved in this, or whether they don't. There's also questions about why Israel has chosen to do this. They say that it's been, in essence, a preemptive strike because there's been a threat to them from Gaza. A lot of other people speculating this is about internal politics and elections. Yair Lapid, the acting prime minister, wanting to show that he's strong. We'll see how this develops in the coming hours and the coming days. John Holman, Inside Story.
Now, let's take a closer look at the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, or PIJ as it's known. The group was founded in the 1980s and is the second largest armed group in Gaza after Hamas. The two often act independently of one another. The PIJ keeps a presence in Gaza and the occupied West Bank with a focus on military confrontations. Iran is a major financial supporter. The group has been designated a terrorist organization by Israel, the United States, the European Union, the UK, Japan, Canada and Australia. Well, Islamic Jihad and Hamas have a common stance against Israel, but the relationship can become tense when Hamas exerts pressure on the PIJ to stop attacks or retaliations. Well, let's bring in our guests into the show. We have joining us from Gaza, Raji Surani, a lawyer and the director of the Palestinian Center for Human Rights. From Ramallah, Noor Auda, a political analyst and columnist. And from West Jerusalem, Yoni Ben Menachem, a political analyst and journalist. Warm welcome to everyone. If I could start with Noor, do you think we're going to see another full-blown war in Gaza?
Well, I think that's still, it's still not clear. So far, it doesn't seem like this is going to escalate into something like the aggression that we saw last year. But I think it's important to remind the viewers that Gaza has been under assault and siege for over 15 years. In fact, a lot more than that. But let's just examine the past 15 years. This is one of the most densely populated areas in the world. The majority of the population of 2 million are children. And they, most of their lives has been spent under a siege by Israel. And so that means that they've lived their life in a state of perpetual trauma, perpetual violence as well. And these episodes of outright assault and military raids are just the, you know, the heightened accents
we'll get more into the reality of the daily grind of life for people in Gaza. But let me refocus us back on the question of what Gaza is heading into. And let me ask Yoni, do you think the Israeli leadership wants a full-blown war right now with Gaza?
Of course not. Who wants a war? Nobody wants a war. I think what happened is that the Islamic Jihad organization, they tried to change the rule of the games and create a new equation. They escalated over the arrest of Bassam Esadi, one of the leaders in the West Bank in Jenin, who was arrested. And since they tried to change the rules of the game...
How did they escalate things, Yoni, when even after that arrest on Tuesday, we didn't see the much-feared wide wave of Palestinian rocket attacks into Israel after that arrest on Tuesday, up until the attacks, the Israeli raids on Friday, right?
Right, but of course I don't represent the Israeli government or the Israeli army, but the army, the Israeli army says, and security, Israeli security forces says, and I don't have any reason to doubt them because the check that I made with my sources confirmed that the Islamic Jihad was planning an attack on the Israeli settlements on the border with Gaza using anti-tech Kornet missiles and snipers. And what Israel did, what the Israeli army did, they thwarted this planned attack. Actually, what they did is a preemptive strike on a few activists of the Islamic Jihad. And this caused the escalation and the rockets, over 200 rockets were launched by the Islamic Jihad towards Israel.
Let me bring Noor back in. As Yoni said, no one wants a full-blown war. Why are we seeing an escalation then, Noor?
Well, I think this Israeli government manufactured this escalation. It pushed for it over the past 2 weeks. It took every measure imaginable to increase tensions, whether it's by raids and detentions and assassinations in the West Bank, by sealing off the Gaza Strip, which cannot survive without access to goods from outside the Strip, immediately after detaining Bassam Esadi, and then by assassinating a prominent leader of the PIJ in Gaza on Friday. This is on the Israeli government. This is on the Israeli prime minister, who's going to run for elections. And unfortunately, we've seen this trend before. We've seen Israeli leaders feeling that they need to prove themselves worthy of the Israeli vote, especially those votes on the right, by proving that they can be tough on the Palestinians, that they can commit war crimes against the Palestinians without hesitation. And that's really what we're saying, what we're seeing. We're seeing a
prelude to the Israeli election campaign. Let me jump in and bring you to the point which Yoni made. He said, look, I checked with my sources. This was an intervention by Israel to stop a planned attack by Palestinian Islamic Jihad. I think he's referring to the Israeli airstrikes, which began on Friday.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, your guest might consider the Israeli army a credible source, but I think those of us who've covered this for a long time and still remember the spin that was told even about the killing of our dear colleague Shirin Abu Akleh know to doubt the credibility of this occupying army. There is no such thing as a preemptive strike. You cannot kill someone, extrajudicially assassinate someone because you think they're going to carry out something. The fact is, not a single shot was fired from Gaza. Israel escalated. Israel targeted Islamic Jihad in the West Bank and Gaza. Israel created this escalation, created this mess, and will have to take responsibility for it.
Right.
What is happening is on their hands.
All right. Maybe it's important to take a little step back. Raji, whatever the... how this got escalated at this point, we're getting reports of civilians paying a price, including children being killed in some of these airstrikes by the Israelis. What would a wider war mean for basic human rights for civilians, both Palestinians and Israelis living in the south?
Palestinian-Israeli conflict, one of the most well-documented conflicts in the modern history. And I'm not saying, documented. It's legally documented. And there was the entire file of the offensive of 2014 presented to the ICC. And there was an investigation opened. And adding to that, the Great March of Return, plus the blockade on Gaza. And adding to that, May 2021. Last year offensive. And every time Israel targeting Gaza, do offensive in Gaza, attack Gaza, it's deliberate, intentional, and it's very clear in the eye of the storm, civilians and civilian targets, more than 70% of the casualties and killings and destruction of May last year were civilians and civilian targets, including 62 children has been killed in 11 days. So Israel, of what they are doing, they are not really, targeting the Jihad Islamic per se or Hamas, who are the good guys in this time, but they are targeting Palestinian civilians. They are the ones in the eye of the storm, and they are doing this to them. Killings, injuring, destruction, social, economical suffocation. I don't know why they blockaded Gaza for the last 16 years. Why 2.2 million people in 365 square kilometers has been persecuted with the crime of blockade. According to Rome statute, it's war crime, it's persecution, and Israel should be held accountable for it and for many, many other things.
Right.
Let
me bring in Yoni again. Noor touched on the point of upcoming elections in Israel, and many analysts, including even some Israeli commentators, have written today about their suspicion that the Israeli airstrikes might have something to do with those upcoming elections. What do you make of that, Yoni?
Look, if eventually after this round of fighting will be over and the politicians will use what happened in Gaza in their political campaign, this is possible. But to come and say that this is the reason for what happened, for the preemptive strike to thwart the terror threat from Gaza, mm-hmm. I think this is exaggerated. I think that, and I didn't get the information, as the guest from Ramallah said, from the Israeli army. I'm covering this, what is happening in territories for the last 40 years, and believe me, I have credible sources. And I checked this information thoroughly. And the reason for this attack was to thwart a terror attack, and it's got nothing to do with politics. But it's possible that the politician will use it in their political campaign. This is a possibility.
Yoni, what prompted the Israeli raid on Jenin on Tuesday? You referred to the reason for the Israeli airstrikes on Friday being a preemptive strike to stop attacks on Israel. What prompted the beginning of this round with the move which Israel made by raiding Jenin on Tuesday, dragging out Bassam Saadi from the camp? Video showed him being dragged, dogs biting him. That sort of operation, I mean, at that time, again, we didn't see the volleys of Palestinian rockets going across from Gaza into
what
Israel.
What is happening in Jenin? What is happening in Jenin is a daily thing. The Palestinian Authority lost control in the city of Jenin, the refugee camp of Jenin, and a few villages surrounding it. They cannot control these areas anymore security-wise. And this, as a result, the activities of the armed military group, Palestinian groups in Jenin, developed. And they started to become a threat to Israel's security, and some of them even infiltrated Israel and carried out terror attacks, like the one in Tel Aviv. So what the Israeli army was doing there was an operation of arrests, and Bassam Saadi, what you said, dragged from the house and so on. He tried to escape from the Israeli army, and he was captured and taken to detention and interrogation. This is what you saw. These are the pictures that you saw.
Right, Noor, I guess for many, including the UN investigators that handed in a report on June the 7th, it comes down to, when you start to break it down like we're doing on this show, it comes down to the occupation. They say that these tensions, they're referring to the last major war between Israel and Gaza, were caused by what it calls a perpetual occupation of Palestinian areas with no apparent intention of ending it. Is this violence simply the cost of what the UN investigators call a perpetual occupation?
Absolutely. And it's also the result of the arrogance of Israel, the occupying power, that expects the people it occupies to be subdued, to die quietly, to surrender to detention quietly, and to not resist or demand freedom. That is not a tenable formula. It is not a situation that any occupier has been able to create, much less Israel. But because Israel has gotten so used to being treated exceptionally, to countries covering up for its crimes, protecting it from accountability, whether at the International Criminal Court or otherwise, it has become so audacious in expressing its indignation at any sign of Palestinian resistance or demand for freedom. It expects that all Palestinians will acquiesce to its hegemonic power. And so it doesn't see that its raids on Jenin are provocative. It doesn't see the killing of Palestinians as incendiary, as illegal, as crimes. And it doesn't expect or doesn't accept that such crimes, such murders, would have a reaction. So long as this occupation and the culture of impunity with which it operates continues, then of course we're going, you know, this reality of brutalization, of traumatization, of violence will persist. And really, ordinary Palestinians are the ones who continue to pay a very dear price, especially in Gaza.
Let me take that point back then to Yoni. I mentioned what the UN investigators had found on June the 7th. Human rights organizations have said similar things. You can look up Amnesty International, May 2021, where they say, quote, unless the world presses Israel to address the root causes, like the illegal blockade of Gaza, impunity, dispossession, oppression of Palestinians, there'll be another round of civilian deaths and destruction. Does it not come back, Yoni, to this being the price of occupation and blockade?
Look, it's clear that the solution to this problem is a political solution and not a military solution.
Is it not the end of occupation, though, Yoni?
Look, there are different school of thoughts about the word you use, occupation, especially as referred to Gaza Strip. Israel withdrew completely from the Gaza Strip. As you know, it's true there is a blockade on Gaza, but this is a result of what happened in Gaza itself when a terrorist organization called Hamas made a coup d'etat and took over by force, took over the Gaza Strip, expelled the Palestinian Authority from Gaza, and build a big terror infrastructure in Gaza, which is full of tunnels, rockets, and his whole aim is to try and attack Israel and destroy the state of Israel. They say it publicly, even the Islamic Jihad. Just look at the name of this organization, Jihad. What does it mean in Arabic? Of course you know what it means. It means holy war. Holy war against who?
Actually, so, it means a struggle, but perhaps we'll get lost in semantics too deep into a semantic debate.
No, I speak Arabic fluently.
It doesn't, of course, Arabic mean the destruction of the state of Israel or holy
He's
war.
He's correcting Arabic to an Arab speaker.
Anyway,
unbelievable.
All right, let me, because we've only got a few minutes, and we haven't really heard enough, I don't think, from Raji. Raji, we're already getting reports that, for example, Israel has stopped the shipment of fuel into Gaza because of this latest escalation, and that the power station of Gaza is not now functioning. Tell us what that means for daily life, people going to school, people in their homes, for hospitals.
Power electricity plant has been shut down this morning. There is no electricity in entire Gaza. And I'm sitting with you just for one reason, that I have my private generator. Otherwise, it's mission impossible even to contact the outside world. Second, it's not only, I mean, you know, for civilians and civilian use, but the entire hospital system collapsed. The entire health system collapsed. I mean, there is hundreds of medical operations should be carried every day. Now it's almost zero level because operation theaters doesn't work at the time being. And even transferring what we call it life-saving cases to Israel is not allowed. So many will die ultimately, I mean, because of lack of transfer to receive developed medical care and life-saving. Radiotherapy, et cetera, not allowed, I mean, to be taken in Gaza. And the level of suffering, I mean, on this sector, immense, huge.
All right. Well, I think we're going to have to leave the discussion at there. Let's thank our guests very much for their contributions. Raji, Surani, Noor Auda, and Yoni Ben Menachem. Thank you too for watching. You can see the show again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, head over to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle there is @AJInsideStory. From me, Sami Zeidan, and the whole team here. For now, it's goodbye.